If you would, and turn to Psalm 1, and I want to give you some thoughts out of Psalm 1 tonight as we complete our study in Psalm 1. We've been studying a few weeks out of this first Psalm, and I've asked you some questions about what you knew about the Psalm, and it's interesting to know that several of you knew some things about this Psalm, and that's a good thing. I want to encourage you to continue to study your Bible. You'll never go wrong by reading and studying the Bible. God has placed a blessing upon those that will read and study His Bible. God said a man will be blessed if he'll get in His Word, if he'll delight in the law of the Lord. Let's read. You follow along as I read in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Father, we thank You for Your Word. I pray, God, that You would open our understanding to Your Word this evening. Give us truths that would help us as we commit ourselves to You and to follow You all the days of our life as You are our helper. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. If you'll remember in our past studies, we've talked about the three people that are viewed here in this psalm. There's the man in verse number 1 and 2. He's the person that receives a blessing from God. It's a man who doesn't do some things in verse 1, and it's a man who does some things in verse number 2. See, the Christian life is not all about just not doing some things, right? Listen, there's sins of commission, and there's sins of omission. And so the Christian life is not just about things that you stop doing. It's also things that you start doing to replace the things that you stop doing, right? If you don't, you'll end up going back to the things you stopped doing. And I found that out early in my Christian experience. So here the Bible says, here's a blessed man. I find it interesting that in the psalm that the psalmist goes against the teaching of the devil, the teaching of the world. You know, the world saying the good life, you know, the good life. And if you'll read Psalm 1, that, you know, this is the good life. You run with this certain group of people and you get your advice and, you know, you get your counsel from this certain group of people. You hang out with this certain crowd and, boy, the in crowd, and that's where it's at. That's a good life. But the Bible starts out here in this psalm. This psalm starts out by saying that's not the good life at all. As a matter of fact, you'll be blessed if you don't do these things, right? Isn't that the lie of the devil, though, in the world? Well, the lie of the devil of the world is come and do these things and live it up. Well, you'll be happy, right? Happy is the man that does these things. Well, that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says happy, blessed is the man that doesn't do these things. That doesn't do these things, but he does this, all right? And by the way, you'll never, verse 1 and 2 will always go together. You'll never be able, if you're doing verse 1, verse 2 is not a reality in your life. Well, you don't know my heart. No, but I know what this book says. You can't be running with the world and have a love for God's Word. Right. Amen. Doesn't go together. I don't know why I don't want to read my Bible, preacher. I do. You need to get out of verse 1. You can't be with the wrong people doing the wrong in the wrong places doing the right thing. And so he said here, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, I've told you before about that word ungodly. A lot of times when people think of this word, they think of a lot of heinous, wicked. It just simply means without God. They don't have time for God. It's like the word unafraid. You see that word ungodly? To be unafraid, that is a prefix, un. It's a prefix. It means not, okay? So he's saying here, when you're unafraid, you're not afraid. When you're ungodly, it's not of God. You don't have time for God, right? And so I've said it before. I want to say it again before we move on from this verse, and that is
Don't find yourself spending a lot of time with people who don't have time for God in their life, because before long, it'll rub off on you. You listening? It'll rub off on you. And so I pray that one of the tests that you would give on people who's going to be your good friend is that their good friend is Jesus. Amen. Amen. Their good friend is Jesus. And he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he's a friend that loveth at all times. And if your supposed friend doesn't want to be friends with Jesus, there's a problem. Amen. And we'll get to where the connection can come later. Say, well, you know, preacher, how are we going to love them to Jesus? Well, we'll talk about that in just a moment. But this is talking about separation. Separation, sanctification, being set apart. We've talked about a lot of stuff in verse 1, so I want to move out of that. We talked about the progression and the different things. But his delight. See, you can't do both. If you're with the wrong people, in the wrong places, doing the wrong things, you won't have a delight. But if you're not, then you can have a delight. Doesn't mean you necessarily will, but you can have a delight. But his delight, and that word delight just simply means it's pleasurable. I want to ask you a question. Is reading God's word pleasurable to you yet? It takes time, doesn't it? You know, we'd all like to stand up and say, oh, preacher, you know, reading God's word is a pleasurable thing for me. Sometimes it's a dutiful thing for me. So, well, I don't know that I would admit that. Well, God knows my heart. Listen, what I do when it comes to reading the word of God, I'm doing that because I love the Lord, not because I want to impress you. Amen. And the scripture here says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. I wish I could say every time I read the word of God that it was pleasurable to me. Sometimes it's just dutiful. I just do it because I know it's what I ought to do. But I can tell you this, I've never read it and been sorry that I read it. Amen. I may have been sorry of why I read it, but I've never been sorry that I read it. And so it said, his delight, his pleasure is in the law of the Lord. And it's not just reading it, it's what he reads from it, what he gets from it. I've been reading through the book of Hebrews every day this week because I want to start Sunday, the Lord willing, Sunday morning, Sunday night. I just want to preach some messages through the book of Hebrews. God's been kind of dealing and stirring some things in my heart, and it's a book that in the New Testament that oftentimes is kind of overlooked. But the book of Hebrews has some good truths, and it's about Jesus. It's how that Jesus is just better, right? He's just better. Better than the prophets, better than the angels, better than the priesthood. He's just better. Amen. He's altogether lovely. And I just love to talk about Jesus. I just love to talk about him. I love to read about him. And so his delight, in verse number 2, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. So it's pleasurable to him. And then it says, in his law doth he meditate. And we talked about the word meditate and how it means to kind of speak under your breath. It's kind of when you're saying it, you're almost talking to yourself. Meditation to the soul is what digestion to the body is. It kind of breaks it down and it sends it to its proper place. When we meditate on the Word of God, it's kind of thinking and allowing God's Word to be broken down so that we can apply it to the needful areas of our life. I'm afraid that, I know I've done this, and I'm afraid that many Christians do this. We just kind of read the word and then we move on and we don't give it any more thought. But the thought here is that when you are in the Word of God and then you get out of the Word of God, don't let the Word of God get out of you. Let the Word of God stay and let it just kind of churn in. And as I told you earlier, it's kind of like humming. When you look at the word meditate and you begin to trace it back to what it means, it's like humming. And we've all had a song that we've heard early in the day and we just couldn't get it out of our mind, and we find ourselves either singing it under our breath or whistling or humming that song. That's what meditation is. It stays with you. It stays with you. And so I pray to God that you and I would find ourselves not just reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God, but meditating upon the Word of God, allowing God's Word to find its place in our life that needs to be ministered to. And then I want to skip down to verse number 4. All right, we're going to get back to verse number 3. Because in verse number 1 and 2, we're talking about a man who is receiving the blessing. Right? Blessed is the man. Here's the man that's going to receive the blessing. And he starts out saying, can't do this and be blessed of God. So I'm going to do it anyway, preacher. Well, now, listen, God will allow you to do that. Right? He will. God will allow you to do wrong. I think everyone in here can attest to that. God will allow you to do wrong. Right? But you're not going to receive a blessing. You're going to be miserable. Miserable in life when we do not do what God says to do. Or when we do what God says not to do. And so he said, you want to be blessed. You want to be happy. You want to have fulfillment, purpose in your life. Then there's just some things you cannot do, verse 1. And there's some things that you should do in verse number 2. And then he moves down in verse number 4, and he says, the ungodly are not so. So here's some people that are not blessed. See, the blessed man is the man that doesn't go in the way and get his counsel from the ungodly. But now we get back to the ungodly that is mentioned in verse number 1. The ungodly, those that don't have time for God, they're not blessed. They're not so. They're not blessed. They don't meditate in the Word. They're not strong like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And he mentions that in verse number 3. They don't bring forth fruit. When the storms of life come, they fold, they bend. They're not stable. You see, the ungodly are not so, is what he's saying. The ungodly are not so. Look on what else he says. But are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. In other words, it's when they took the wheat and they would throw it up in the air, and the wind would come across, and the wheat, because it was the heavier, would fall back down to the ground to be gathered and used. But the chaff would be blown away by the wind. Oftentimes it would just be blown away, never to be recovered again. But sometimes it would be gathered to be burned. It was used for burn. It was waste, is really what is being taught here. And so the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You know, the Bible says that we ought not to be blown away with every wind of doctrine. If you want to be stable, if you want to be strong, if you want to be secure, we have to stay in the Word. We have to meditate in the Word of God. Right? We don't just crack open our Bibles on a Wednesday or a Sunday. We don't just pick it up off of an end table or a coffee table and rush out the door and bring it to church and open it up and listen to our Sunday school teacher or a preacher. No, we get in the Word daily. Daily in the Word. Seeing what God has. Spiritual food for us. Nourishment for the soul, right? The Word of God. I hope you've fallen in love with the Word of God. Amen. And that takes a little time. It does. It takes some discipline. And so I pray that you have. And then the Scripture says this, therefore, verse 5, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. There's a saying, and what is being said here, we have a saying in our day that a person, when they have absolutely no defense, and I want you to listen carefully, when they have no defense, they have no answer, we say, well, that man doesn't have a leg to stand on. How many have ever heard that? Raise your hand. That person doesn't have a leg to stand on. That's what the psalmist is saying here. In the day of judgment, don't have a leg to stand on. They're done. They're done. Now, this doesn't mean they're not going to stand in judgment. It says they're not going to stand in the day of judgment, which means they have nothing to offer. Nothing. Nothing. They've rejected the offer that was made to them. The ungodly are not so. And it says, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. They don't have a leg to stand on. Now, I want to just make a quick statement here before I move on into the rest of this verse in verse 6. And I want to come back to verse 3 and make a few points on verse number 3. Everyone's going to stand before God in judgment. Now, there are some people in their mind, they in their minds, and even in their teaching, in their doctrine, their theology, they say, well, you know, I believe that there's going to be this judgment, and there's going to be the sheep on the right hand, and there's going to be the goat on the left hand, and God's going to judge everybody. They call that a general judgment. Now, I want to tell you something, brethren, that's nowhere taught in the Bible. Well, now, preacher, now, wait a minute. I did read about the sheep and the goats being... Well, you read Matthew 25, where you read that. That's nations. That's nations. That's not individuals. Because they're not. We're not going to be judged at the same time lost people are judged. We're going to be judged at what's called the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. Because we're not going to be judged for our works. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. I'm glad. Listen, Jesus took care of that at Calvary. When I stand before God, I'm not going to be judged for my sin. My sin was judged when I went and confessed it before Jesus and pleaded the blood of Jesus. My sin is now under the blood, brethren. I'm going to stand before God and give an account of the deeds done in my body, whether they be good or bad. And so my works are going to be judged. Your works, every Christian is going to stand before God, and our works are going to be judged. Our service, not our sin. Not going to be judged for our sin. Our service, our sin's been taken care of. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad you're under no more condemnation? You say, well, preacher, I feel like I'm under it. Well, you need to get out from under it if you're saved, because you're not under it. You're letting the devil put you under something that's a false pretense. You're not under the judgment of God. That's right. Now, you can be condemned with the world. Did you know that? Read 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Listen to me now. The Bible says if you become a friend of the world, James 4:4, in James 1 it says you can be spotted by the world. In 1 John chapter number 2 it says that you can even fall in love with the world. Love not the world. Isn't that what John said? And listen, if you get in the world, now you're not of it if you're saved, but if you get in the world and you stay in the world, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 teaches that if you do not confess that sin, that God will condemn you with the world. Now what's that mean? That means that when the judgment of God falls, when it rains on the just and the unjust, when the judgment of God has fallen in this present time, God will chasten you as one of his children. He will. You won't have any peace. Did you know there's a lot of lost people in our world today, lost. No peace. No peace. Did you know there's a lot of Christians with no peace in their life? Now why do you want to be like that? God's giving you peace. And the only reason you're not experiencing peace is because you've gone back in the world. And you'll never know the peace of God until you come out of the world once and for all. You've got to come out of the world now. You can't live in the world. You can't live with one foot in the world and one foot in the church and expect to have the peace of God in your heart. Say amen with me, brethren. I'm telling you what this book teaches. I'm trying to help you to understand how to have joy in your life and to be the blessed man. Blessed, the psalmist said, is the man. You want to be blessed? And stay away from the wrong people, the wrong places. Don't do the wrong things. Get in the book. Delight in the law of the Lord. Meditate in it. And then it says the ungodly, it goes from the blessed man to the man who needs a blessing. See, verse 1 and 2 says this is the man that receives the blessing. Verse 4 and 5 and 6 says this is the man that needs the blessing. He's ungodly. He's going to stand before God with not a leg to stand on. And then it says here in verse number 5, the next part of that verse is neither sinners in the congregation of the righteous. That's sad. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. You say, well, preacher, there's some wicked people in this life. Yes, there are. But listen, God's not willing that any should perish. And if God's not willing that any should perish, then I don't want to be willing that any should perish. I want to see all men, like God does in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. I want to see all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. How about you? Amen? Yes. He says here... They're not going to stand the congregation of the righteous. And he said, verse number 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. I'm glad that that verse of Scripture is in the Bible. See, man sometimes, man doesn't know. People think they know you. People think they know me. There's a big difference between reputation and character. You understand the difference? Reputation's what people think you are. Character's what God knows you are. I'm going to say that again so you get the difference down and you'll understand that you keep trying to please people, you'll go crazy. You're never going to please everyone. But if you please the one, everything's going to work out. You please God. You please God. You please God. That's what matters. You please the Lord. You please the Lord. See, he's the one that matters. Now, I'm not saying that we ought to purposefully do things that would displease people. As a matter of fact, if we're pleasing God, then we may be an offense to people, but we're not going to do things purposefully to offend people. If us living for God offends them, then that's on God. Right? That's not on us. But now we don't want to go out purposefully and be mean-spirited and be offensive to people. That's not honoring to God. That's not honoring. So the scripture says, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. God knows your heart. You say, well, preacher, if I know my own heart, well, I know you don't know it. I don't know mine. We don't know our heart. You say, well, I know my heart. No, you don't. I know just enough about my heart to know that God says that it is wicked. Actually, he said that it's desperately wicked. Right? So we'll leave that to God. God knows. God knows. You say, well, I'm receiving some persecution. Well, God knows. I'm being maligned. Maybe you're being attacked just because you want to live for Jesus. Well, now that's just apt to happen in our day. It's happened throughout the annals of Christian history, hasn't it? Hasn't it, brethren? You don't think we're the first ones that's been persecuted for living for Jesus, do you? There's people that's been burnt to the stake. There's people that's been thrown to the wild beast. There's people that's been mauled and drugged through the streets with wild animals, brethren, because no other reason that they trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and would not recant their faith. So the Lord knoweth, he said in verse number 6, the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now here's the connection I want to make, and we'll be done tonight. 1 and 2, the blessed man. The blessed man is going to receive the blessing. God's promised it, brethren. I want to give you something tonight that will help you. Why don't you start reading more of God's Word? You say, well, preacher, I already read a lot of it. Well, read more of it. God's promised His blessing upon those that will get in this book right here. Your life will be blessed. You say, I need a blessing. Get in the book. Get in the book. There's blessings in this book, brethren. Blessings. Blessings. Obey the commandment of God. Find out what God says and then do it. Right? I'm not going to do it, preacher. Well, now you're only hurting yourself. Well, let me change that statement. Primarily, you're hurting yourself. You may hurt those around you. You may hurt your family. Get in the book. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. It's important. Those that receive the blessing, then verse 4, 5, and 6, those who need the blessing. Now, how's verse number 3 fit into this? Verse 3 says this, and he shall be like a tree. This is that blessed man. But he's going beyond being a blessed man. Now he's going to be a man of a blessing. I want you to watch what the scripture does here. It connects. See, there's something missing between the blessed man, the man who's received the blessing, and the man who needs the blessing. And God says, you're it. I'm it. We've heard it tonight in many of the testimonies. The woman who was going to commit suicide. The people who are at the end of the rope and said, you know what? I'm done. And then God sends someone. We're servants of God. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're those that have been blessed, that God is bearing fruit in our lives so that we could be a blessing to others. Notice what the scripture says here in verse number 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. First of all, what a statement. The strength of that statement. The security of that tree. The life. The vibrance of the picture that's here. It's not some dry, dead, you know, a frail tree that's about to fall over. This is a picture of strength and security. And it says here in verse number 3 that he bringeth forth his fruit in his season. It's his fruit, but it's fruit that God produces by his workings in his life, and it's for the other people. It's for people who need the blessing. The fruit is not for me. The fruit is something that God produces through me for others, right? There's a ninefold fruit in Galatians chapter number 5. And I trust that you know something about this ninefold fruit because God's looking for it to be produced in your life. Now, I didn't say manufactured. Man has tried to manufacture these things, love and joy and peace. And there's false love and there's false joy. There's false peace. There's all the things that God has to offer. The devil has a substitute. I'm going to tell you something about sin. I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts and then we'll close in prayer. I want you to remember this. If you're here tonight, and I don't know that there would be anybody, I don't know what's in people's hearts. Can I tell you that sin, when we go after sin, you say, now, preacher, we don't go after sin. Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do. I sinned as much today as I chose to. We need to quit being these. Listen, this mindset of the victim's mentality, that's liberal. That's liberal. Christians shouldn't have a victim's mentality. Amen. We're not victims. We're victors. We're victorious. What Paul say in 2 Corinthians? We've been made to triumph in Christ. We're more than conquerors, he said in the book of Romans. We're not victims. We're victors. We're victorious. Amen. We need to set aside this victim's mentality. No, that's not what God doesn't want us to navigate through life with a victim's mentality. We've been bought with a price. Our God is God. There's none beside Him. There's no one His equal, brethren. All power in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus, and He has all that power, and He has shared it as joint heirs with you and I. Everything that Jesus owns, I own. Why? Because He's made me a joint heir. Made you one too if you're saved. Amen? Do you like the look of those? Do you like the look of your trees as you drove down Gate Road tonight? You said, those aren't my trees. Well, they're God's. And since they're His and we're joint heirs, I'd say they belong to us too. Amen. Now, don't go cutting any of them down. One of our neighbors comes, hey, what are you doing? Well, the preacher said, that's my tree. Amen. I see some of you looking like that's a good idea. I'm telling you right now, that's not a good idea. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He bringeth forth his fruit. What kind of fruit are you bringing forth? What kind of fruit? Can I tell you? Let me just ask you to turn to these scriptures. We're going to close with this, all right? I told you we would, and this is what we're going to do. Romans, turn to the book of Romans. Fruit. You know, back in the day, Christians used to talk a lot about fruit. Christian fruit. Look in Romans chapter 1. Look in verse number 13. Paul mentions a fruit. Let's see if you are producing this fruit. Is your tree planted by the rivers of living water? Are the leaves on your tree green and vibrant with life and refreshment? When people look at you, when they look at your tree, do they see fruit and nourishment? Do they see refreshment and strength? Or do they see something that's wilted and dried up? Notice what Paul said in Romans chapter 1. Look at verse number 13. He said this. He said, now I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto. Now why did Paul want to go to them? He said, I was hindered somewhat. He said, but I purposed to come to you. And he said, here's why. That I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Paul said, I want to see some Romans saved. Amen? You seeing some people saved? That's fruit. That's fruit. Paul said, I want to bear fruit. I want to bear some souls. The tree of the righteous is, listen, he that winneth, help me out, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I think that's Proverbs 11:30. You see, fruit. We heard it Sunday about our Theophilus. We need to be pouring some things into people. We need to be allowing people to partake of our fruit, that it would bring forth eternal life as they trust our Savior. Fruit. So, preacher, I'm not winning too many people to Jesus. Are you attempting to? Are you planting the seed? Are you giving a gospel witness? Paul said it here in verse number 13. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you. Why? That I might bear some fruit. I want some folks to be saved. I want to share the gospel with some people and see them get saved. Fruit. You see. Turn over to chapter 6. Is your tree bearing fruit? Is it? If it's planted in the right place by the rivers of living water, it's bearing fruit, brethren. But guess what? If it's not bearing fruit, that's a bad sign. That's a bad sign. Notice in chapter number 6 of Romans, look in verse number 22. Here's a fruit. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. He had spoken back in verse number 20 and 21 about fruit of the flesh before they met Jesus. He said, but now, in verse number 22, that you are free from sin and become servants of God. Here's a fruit. Serving God. You serving God? That's fruit. Right? It produces something when you're serving God. And he said, as you do that, he said it would produce holiness and the end, everlasting life. You say, no, wait a minute, preacher. You mean I've got to work to get everlasting life? No, you'll see people get saved and they'll be able to enjoy everlasting life. Look, if you would, at a couple of more in the book of Romans. Look, turn over to Romans chapter 15, if you would. Here's a fruit. So we got the fruit of soul winning, the fruit of service, being a servant. Look in chapter 15, look in verse number 26. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. This is the fruit of giving to the Lord's work, primarily to missions. Watch what he said here in verse 27. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Here it is now. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. Fruit. Giving to the Lord's work. That the light of the glorious gospel might not only go out in this community, but around the world. Fruit. It's important. All through the scripture. There's a fruit in Hebrews chapter 13. I hope you'll look at it when you get home. Chapter 13 and verse number 15. It talks about the fruit of our lips being praise and thanksgiving to God. That's fruit. You bearing fruit? When's the last time you got along with someone and bragged on Jesus to them? I'm not talking about a Christian. I'm not talking about a friend. A stranger. What's wrong? You ashamed of the Lord? I don't think you are. But the devil wants to make us cowards, doesn't he? Come on, brethren, doesn't he? The devil wants to make us cowards. He wants us to cower down and not mention Jesus and not mention salvation and not mention the penalty of sin and not mention eternity and hell. The devil wants us to cower down. But we want to be that tree that's planted by the rivers of water that would bear fruit so that we can be the blessed man that as we bear the fruit, we can assist the man that needs blessed. There's a lot of folks out there, brethren, that need who we have. A lot of people need Jesus, don't they? How do you think they're going to hear about him? You have someone in mind that's going to tell them? You may be their only hope. Right? Let's stand to our feet.